Hello everyone and welcome back to the 9th episode of The World of Heritage. My name is Stephanie and here with me is Niloufar. We are students of the World Heritage Studies program at the Brandenburg Technical University. We started this podcast as our study project for this semester's Queering the Narratives course held by our professor, Mrs. Caitlin Williams. In each episode, we have a new guest from the BTU Heritage community, and we have the opportunity to talk to another one of our lovely fellow students today, Tatiana Sanchez.
Hi, Niloufar. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
About Tatiana, she was born and raised in Bogota, Colombia. She did her bachelor degree in journalism at Javeriana University and also got her master's degree in marketing management at the same university. She won the scholarship of Foundation Abaco to the program of cultural management with an emphasis in museums, heritage, and cultural tourism in Argentina. In 2018, she also attended the course Entrepreneurship Education in India. About her work experience, she is a radio house voice professional and producer. She worked mainly as a cultural journalist and specialized in radio production. Since 2007, she led the cultural program Magazine 91 at Javeriana Stereo, which is an important cultural and university radio in Colombia. Tatiana worked as a music programmer and host of music programs, and since 2012 she has worked as the director of the digital communications and citizen participation strategy in Colombia's government. She worked as a lecturer for different media related courses at the University of Externado in Colombia, and many more work and volunteer projects that she was active in. Wow, very, very impressive and fruitful academic and career life experience, Tatiana.
Let's start with our first part of the question. Tatiana, why did you decide to study journalism for your bachelor?
I think because I always liked to write and to tell stories. I remember that was one of my favorite things when I was a kid, and I always dream about traveling the world and telling stories and meeting new people and talking with new people. So I think journalism was the best way to do it, and I really love my career and my bachelor.
Was the MBA helping you for the further career success while you shifted from journalism to management?
I think I didn't shift it. My bachelor is in journalism and social communication, and that has many paths, you know. And one of those is advertisement how to communicate in an effective way. And that's what we do also in marketing. Actually, I won a scholarship for that master, and I was very happy because that helped me to know how to tell stories in a most effective way, and how to really, for example, enhance cultural companies or entrepreneurs to really sell their cultural products. Because I think maybe you know that cultural products, most of the people want them free, and how to really live working in culture. So for me, that was my biggest question in that moment. So that's why I think marketing helped me a lot, and also it gave me a lot of structure. I love to solve problems. I think I'm really able to do that, and I have a lot of ideas. So marketing also helped me to create strategies, to be more focused, and to be a manager. That helps me a lot, and of course, especially for my job in the government, that helps me a lot.
Mentioning the government, coming from a strong media academic and work background, why did you decide to quit your job at the government of Colombia and come to Germany for a master in the heritage studies field?
I think that question is related with who I am, you know, and I really want to live a life full of passion and doing the things that I love. And I love my job. I really love working in the radio station before, then in the government. I love working for the peace in my country. I love to work in this digital media, being the director of this huge digital strategy in Colombia. I love my team, all the strategies that we create every day. But I was feeling that also I was letting aside my cultural journalism part, you know? And I felt that I want to really see what would happen if I could have some time for me to get inspired again, to see the world beyond just my country. I have many friends around the world, so I had that opportunity before, but I said, like, I want to see what's gonna happen if I can dedicate myself to this passion as well as I dedicate myself to my passion for politics and for citizens working with the government. So, of course, money is an important thing, having a job, having this stability, but I think it's worth it because I was doing it because of me, of my life, to for my passions. And I think that defines me a lot, to do what I'm passionate about. So that's why I said, like, okay, I'm gonna give this huge jump, but I know it would be worth it. So, and I think it was and it is right now.
Tatiana, you lived in different countries because of your academic experiences, and mostly you received scholarships for all those educations. Can you give us some advice on how students can receive a scholarship? Which factors are involved for getting chosen?
That's very funny because actually I don't have real tips, you know. I think I always apply to things that I really like to do and I really was passionate about, and all the time I was very honest in my motivation letters. I was saying, like, really, I want to do this because of this and I don't have any other intention, or I don't know many things about this, but I want to explore this part, or I read once this article that was amazing and I don't know anything and I really want to go deep. And I think with all this openness, people can feel it and can read it and can see if actually you want to go with which kind of intention. So I think my best tip is to be honest. And of course, to try to have all the documents very organized. So every time that you see a scholarship, you can apply. For example, in my case, I always saw the scholarships in the very last moment. So I'm very organized with my documents. So I think that helped me a lot because it was like uploading and writing a motivation later. So I think, yes, it's being honest and having all your documents updated.
Thank you so much for sharing the first part of the conversations with us. Okay, let's take a short break and we come back in a few seconds with the second part of our podcast.
Again, we are back with the second part that will ask more questions from Tatiana about her experience of living in Cottbus. You stayed in the dorms right after you arrived, right? How did you like the dormitory life?
I didn't like, and I'm sorry for being so honest here, but I didn't like. I don't recommend it. I really feel, and I know because that was for me, it looks like the easy way to come. And of course, coming to a country that you don't know the language, you don't know how the bureaucracy works, and you know Germany is full of this paperwork, for me was the easiest thing to do in that moment. But I found the dorms not a good place to live. And actually, it's here in Cottbus because I was living in some dorms in Köln before coming here. I was studying German there. And I had a really nice apartment with really good conditions, but I found the dorms here really bad. They don't have any empathy to help you or to really give you good conditions. They just give you a room and just live there, and that's the basic room. So I found it really bad, not just for the apartment, if the apartment likes me or I like the apartment or not, but I found it's the empathy of the people to help you or to giving you better condition was not so nice. I have to admit that my housemaster was nice and he tries a lot to help me, but he was the only person there. The rest, all the emails that I write, especially in the pandemic, they were very, I don't know, they ignore all the things that were happening there. So for me, that was awful, and I changed, and I recommend everybody to try to look for accommodation in a place that you can actually choose, because there you cannot even choose. So
thinking about weathering Cottbus and seasoning Cottbus, what is your favorite season there?
I think I love the interseasons when spring is changing to summer or summer changing to fall. I think the colors are amazing. I love that first interseason between spring and summer because of the cherry trees here. Oh my God, Cottbus is beautiful. That pink color is amazing. And of course, in fall, in that moment where all the trees are already with all these beautiful colors, I think Cottbus looks beautiful. Really, I love those interseasons.
Very dreamy. Before the pandemic, what was the best event of BTU that you got good memories of?
I don't remember many BTU events. I remember a lot of events that we create with our friends. Oh, but I remember, Niloufar maybe also remembers, the BTU ball. I think it was in January. But I remember not so much from the event because I remember I was sick that day. I went, but I was sick, so I couldn't enjoy too much. But I remember all the things that happened around the event. I remember us looking for a dress, and we didn't know how a ball is here in Germany, and we didn't know about how a dress is for a ball in Germany. We trying, yes, to find the perfect shoes because we didn't know if we have to use heels or not, and what we should do in that event. We need to come with a partner or not. That was very, very funny. I remember the fireworks that night. Those fireworks were amazing. And I remember one of my favorite teachers watched me dancing there, and I was like, oh my God, this is a dream. Seeing all these people in this different context, like enjoying and having fun. I think that was a really good event.
That's really strange to think about. It happened all 1 year ago. Mm-hmm. And we were stressing a lot for all these preparations. About pandemic, considering that it brought so many negative sides to our life, did it also brought any positive influence for you?
I'm a person that always thinks that negative things always bring you positive changes. And of course, the beginning was really hard because I was feeling that I was very far from my home with any possibility to come back, because I thought I'm a risk for my family, for my dad, so I don't want to go there. But, and of course, I was in a really bad situation in my terms. But actually, I try to be more positive. I'm a really positive person, but I try in that moment to be more positive, to focus more in thinking everything, to try to see the positive things that I still have. And actually, I had amazing experiences doing that. I feel the pandemic broke me and still brings me a lot of nice things. Actually, I'm telling that story in my social media accounts. If you want to follow, it's at Tatisan, Tathysan. And I'm thanking 21 things that really changed my perception or changed things that I thought that could be bad and actually were really good. And I am including there a lot of things, my friends, the dorms, for example, the moment when I changed to a BG, my experience, a huge trip that I made that I never imagined that I could do in that situation. So I think I'm a storyteller. So I'm really telling stories, and I'm telling all my story about how this pandemic actually changes. And I'm sure if all of you also think what was good about that, you're going to find more good things than bad things.
I will definitely take a look at your Instagram and maybe join you. It sounds really
Thank
cool.
You, please.
And also thanks for answering our questions. After a few seconds, we will be back with the third part.
Hi again. So we are in the third part of our talk, more exploring about the major. Tatiana, beside applying for World Heritage Studies, have you also considered to apply for other majors or other universities in different countries? And how did you decide at the end to go with World Heritage Studies?
Yes, I apply actually to Erasmus Mundus program, the name was Mundus Journalism. It's an amazing journalism program, I have to admit it. It's in Aarhus, Denmark, and in Amsterdam, the second year. It's really amazing, and I already told you, I love to be a journalist. I really feel that it's my passion, my hobby, the thing that I really feel very well doing. But when I saw also this master program, actually, since I finished my bachelor, I start to think what I really want to do now. And journalism, actually, it's like a technique. You learn how to tell stories, how to speak better, how to present things, and of course, how to analyze, how to make interviews, how all these things. And for me, was I want to, in Colombia, there is actually a telling that is very funny, that journalists have like 1 centimeter of deepness. So because we know how to ask and we know how to find information, but we don't have actually a deep knowledge in anything because we know about everything. So I said, like, what is really my passion? What I want to do and what I want to do in this moment of my life? And my answer was, I want to be inspired. And being inspired means for me doing the things that I like. And since I remember I was a little kid, I love the 7 wonders of the world. I want to travel. I want to see these amazing places. So for me, the answer was really easy. I was accepted in that Erasmus Mundus program. But I said, I declined. I said, like, thank you so much, Bettina. I remember a lot the name of the person who sent me the email. But I think I already took my decision. I'm going to make another program. And she said, like, no, please apply again next year if it's for funding or everything. Apply again next year. And I said, like, no, I think that next year I would be in another part doing another master. And yes, I was just very, very sure that I would be doing this master. And here I am.
Tatiana, you also got accepted for the double degree with Deakin University in Melbourne. Why did you decide to not go to Australia? And do you think it was a good decision?
Actually, it has many points, but the one the most important one was that I already had DAD support. So I cannot have 2. And the Australian scholarship was also supported by DAD. So DAD told me, like, you cannot have 2, so you have to choose. And actually I choose the first one because it was better. Actually, it's very simple. But when I was in that decision process, I considered many things, and making a huge change in your life. For me, I feel it easy because I feel that all my time I try to look for change and try to, yes, let everything and go for a new thing. And yes, that's me. But in this moment of my life, I was feeling that, especially because of the conditions that I had, the dorms, the uni, trying to sing all the time in English, trying to learn German, trying to speak in Spanish sometimes to not to forget my language. I'm kidding, but you know what I mean. For me, it was a lot, and I was feeling tired, you know, and I said, like, I have now to do a lot of paperwork, and I have to go for an exam, and I have to go for fingerprints in Greece. So I said, like, I'm feeling that it's too much, and I don't want to have that feeling. I want my peace. And that was one of my objectives coming here also, try to study having peace while I was finding more inspiration. So I said, like, no, I think it's not my time to go to Australia. I was feeling really sad, actually, but at the end, I think it was a really good decision because it was the pandemic. So I said, like, okay, it was good. But now I'm really happy because I'm working very close with some people that went to Australia, and I'm helping some things for the dual degree program. So I'm feeling that I had to be close to that project for any reason. And I'm feeling very happy to hear, for example, the experiences of my classmates there or the people in Australia who came here. So I also invite all of you and all the people that is listening to us to follow the social media accounts of the Dual Heritage Program. We are in social media as heritage dual degree in some of them. And actually, we are telling the stories about the people and experiences of people who came to Germany or who go to Australia. So I think I couldn't go, but I feel that was a really good decision for me. But I think it's a really good opportunity.
Tatiana, you are almost done with the 3 semesters of studying World Heritage Studies. What was your experience? Which has been your favorite course so far? And who is your favorite teacher in the program?
Oh my God, for me, my experience was very nice because I was not looking for a diploma. And I said that from the beginning, really, after my career and doing all the things that I like, I was here because really I want peace, I want to be inspired, I want to see new things. And that was my main objective. And I think the master gave me that. My favorite class, and I always said that, is culture and landscapes. And my favorite teacher is Simona, for sure. I have many favorite teachers, but Simona for me is amazing. I recommend everyone to take a class with Simona. I took with her culture and landscapes and then a project about tourism. And I think she's an amazing lecturer. I know about these courses and speech and how to communicate things. She has an amazing speech every class. She prepared the classes and I can feel that she's passionate about the topics. And I don't like just because of that. I like because she is a very respectful teacher. She really sees you as an important part of the university. She answers your emails. She gives you feedback if you ask for it. And she's respectful with the grades. She explains you. She also, it's on time. She never delays grades or things that are important for the students. So I found, as a teacher that I was, I think that's very important, because when teachers feel that they have the same level with the students because they are colleagues, that's really amazing. And I think Simona is amazing on that. But I also love Leo Schmidt and all the architectural chair. I love really classes with Leo Schmidt. I was feeling very lucky because I took his last architectural conservation class. I like a lot Caitlin classes because she's also a journalist, so I feel that we talk the same language. So for me, I enjoy a lot interpretation courses. And I have to admit that I'm a groupie of Alexandra. She doesn't know me, but all the lecture that she gave us in architectural conservation, I was amazed. And since my first semester, I'm following her. And now I'm taking again the architectural conservation course because she's given the lectures. And for me, she is amazing. I am a groupie of Alexandra, and I'm Alexandra, I love you. You don't know me, but I love you. And I think she's really amazing. But yes, I'm a groupie of that chair. I wish I could do more things with them.
We are already in the last part of the question, and our special question is that, could you please share with us, what is your favorite World Heritage site?
That's a super hard question for me because I have seen so many beautiful places around the world that it's like when someone asks you about your favorite song, I use it like, it depends on my mood. Same happens to me with heritage. I think I have to say that, of course, in Colombia we have amazing places, and I encourage all of you to go to Latin America. Really, it's safe. Please, people, you are tourists. You can go and you're going to be okay. You should go to Cartagena. The Cartagena city is beautiful. It's a love city. It's full of colors. You feel amazed with the people, with the music, with the traditions. So it's beautiful. Chiribiquete, our jungle there, that it's full of amazing indigenous traditions. So there are many things there, but I have to admit, in this moment, based on my mood, my favorite heritage right now is the Dolomites. I traveled there, and I'm gonna tell that story also in my social media. I traveled there last year, and I saw many amazing places that I was really speechless. So I have to say that really nature every time inspired me more. Sometimes more than some buildings that I also consider very inspiring, like Taj Mahal. When I saw Taj Mahal, for me, it was like my heart stopped. But right now, with my mood, Dolomites are like, oh my God, if we are here, we should go to see Dolomites and the different places, because Dolomites is huge and you can go to different spots and you're gonna last like weeks doing that trip. But it's, wow, it's amazing.
Very inspiring. Tatiana, thanks again for taking the time to talk to us. It was a great pleasure to listen to your adventurous life and brave stories. We wish you all the best for your future studies and career path, and we are looking forward to seeing you soon, hopefully in person.
Thank you, guys. Really was super nice conversation, and I hope to see you in real life soon too.
Thank you to you people for listening and sharing our podcast. We already received a few messages from our classmates that they are interested in being our guests for coming episodes, which is so encouraging for us. It was so wonderful to receive all the feedbacks, and thanks for your support.
As our next guest for the 10th episode of the World of Heritage podcast, we will talk to Bisrat Kebire. He's from Ethiopia and did the exchange semester with Deakin University in Melbourne. We are so looking forward to talking to him soon.
By the way, did you already listen to other podcasts we publish? If not, you definitely need to do so. For also keeping up to date with our project, you can follow us on Instagram. Our name on social media is The World of Heritage. We would also appreciate your further feedback and help and advice. If you are interested in sharing your story on our podcast, feel free to contact us. You can find our email address in the description box. Thanks again for listening and stay safe. Bye.